Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast. I welcome you, those of you listening by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Those of you who tune me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and also 100.3 FM in the Low Ada area at 8 o'clock. And I welcome all of those that have tuned me in. Also, I welcome those who have tuned me in from Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both Ionia and Greenville stations are broadcasting live by the way of the web, and that's something that's very special. Some of you tuned in by the way of Ears Radio at Internet Radio at Ears at InternetRadio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening by way of my website, my website is PastorKenHarger.com, and then you bring your mouse over to Messages from the Lighthouse and click on Current Media, and it'll take you for the broadcast, right to the broadcast for this morning. The very top broadcast is the most current broadcast, and then there's others that you can listen to as if you so desire at any time that you want to. I need to say thank you to those that help with the financial cost of our broadcast time. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, to Bell and Judy Hammond family from the Belding area, to Gloria Spencer in memory not of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area. Also to Shiloh Community Church, where I was a pastor for 50 years. We appreciate their support. And I'd just like to give you an invitation to attend the services at Shiloh. It begins Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And in Greenville, we have another campus at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LeRae Street. And that Sunday morning service is at 11 o'clock. I want to give a thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting my music for today. And I just appreciate all the ministry work that she's done in all the years gone by. She's been a big supporter of our broadcast, and I appreciate what she's been willing to do. The message for today that I want to share with you is God has done it before, he can do it again. And what I'm thinking of this morning, he can meet both our physical and our spiritual needs. He's met it, the physical and the spiritual needs for people in days gone by, and he's able to meet our physical and spiritual needs. We'll get into that in just a few moments. I'm over here at the Lighthouse. We do have one person I see out there doing some ice fishing, so I hope he's having success for supper tonight. There's not a whole lot of activity on the lake because it's been a strange year this year for the ice, and so I'm glad people are being pretty safe about it, and that's pretty important because you're always concerned if somebody falls through that ice into that cold water, what might be the outcome of that. Well, we'll get started in our broadcast this morning, and to do that, I want us to listen to a song that's telling us there's one sacred head. The Lord Jesus has done so many things for us, and the biggest thing that he did was to be a sacrifice for our sins, and we realize that, and we appreciate that so much. And so we'll listen to this song, and it'll be a kind of a preparing our hearts and minds for the message that we're going to be looking at, that God just might lead us and direct us and draw us close to him. Thanks for tuning me in.
So much more when my heart this old world in place. Oh, a hand that was scarred just to give me grace. And to think a hand that holds a star.
One Scarred Hand. I announced that song wrong. I said one scarred head, but one scarred hand. I love the hands of the Lord Jesus. You know, when we get to see him in eternity, he's still going to have those scars on his hands, because he tells us that's when he was wounded with his friends. I've always liked a couple verses that I've kind of put together for myself when I think about how great God is and how much he has done for us. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of a living God. But then also a verse that I like to put with that. He says, no one, Jesus said, can pluck you out of my Father's hands. We're secure in the Father's hand, and what a blessing that is for us today. We're going to be looking at what God has done before, he can do again. He can meet your physical needs, and he can meet your spiritual needs through his Son, the Lord Jesus. But I want to have a word of prayer before we get started in the message. Again, I would like to pray for the listening audience. Whatever your week has been like this past week since last we met together, I just want to ask the Lord's blessing to be upon you and to watch over you this coming week. And so let's just bow together for a moment. Dear Father, as we bow in your presence, we come to you. Last week we asked for your blessing to be upon the listening audience. And we're not just doing it to do it, Father. We're doing it because I'm concerned about the listening audience. That's my congregation this morning. That's the ones I'm ministering to. That's the one I'm speaking to. So, dear Father, this morning I'm praying for each person, each family that's got their radio tuned in to the message for this morning. I just pray, dear Father, you would bless their family needs. You would bless their individual needs. Rather they be spiritual, as we're going to talk about this morning, or rather they be physical, which we're going to talk about this morning. I just pray, Father, you would minister to meet their needs according to your divine and holy will. And I do thank you, Father, that you have promised in your word that you can meet our needs. Maybe not all of our wants, because sometimes our wants is bigger than it should be. But what we need to make it through life, you're able to meet that need, whether it's physical or spiritual, emotional, financial, family-wise. Whatever the needs is of the listening audience this morning, dear Father, I pray that you would meet that need according to your will. Just meet with us this morning, Father, at the point of our need, and take us forward for your kingdom. I thank you, and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You know, we do have needs. You and I are very needy people. And what I'd like to do this week for our message time is have the foundation I want to use of something that Jesus talked about that was common not only for the people of his day, but common for us. And the word that he used, which I would just say the word, was bread. When God's talking about meeting our physical needs, he speaks about meeting the needs of our food, the physical things that we need to stay alive. And then the second thing that I would like to have us think about as he meets our spiritual needs is the realization that this idea of bread is something that would be common to wherever the person is on planet Earth. They have some form of bread. And there's a form of bread that meets our spiritual need, and that is the Word of God. And we're going to show us today in the message how God's Word is able to meet our spiritual need. I love two things that happened in the life of the Lord Jesus. One day the disciples came to him and they said, "Master, would you teach us how to pray? John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray?" And Jesus said he would. And he said, started with what we've come to call the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, holy would be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then listen to this phrase. "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus is praying and teaching the disciples to pray, that he wanted them to know they should be praying for their daily bread. And when Jesus was baptized, and then he went into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days. And for those 40 days, he ate nothing. And then after the 40 days was over, the tempter, Satan, came to him. And he said this to him, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus could have done that, no doubt about it. "Tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But instead of him responding to Satan's desire, Jesus answered, "The scripture says," which is the word of God, "a person cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that God speaks." He says, we need for our spiritual life the Word of God. Right now, Jesus is saying to Satan, "I don't need any bread to eat. What I need is the spiritual food that God has provided me with when he was in the wilderness." I have a good memory of my mom's ability to bake bread. I used to love her homemade bread. And she made a lot of it because there was 9 of us. Because we was a big family. It tasted so good, and no matter what anybody said, it was so healthy, and I believe it was so good for me. And I've been a bread person ever since. I love bread. To me, it's pretty special when Jesus takes the word of God and calls it bread to teach us that he will provide both our physical needs and our spiritual needs. You know, folks, I think we need to realize that that's pretty special when God's Son, Jesus, can take a word like bread and know that people are going to understand what he talks about. The provision of God is for our daily needs, as he did for the nation of Israel. You know, when you study the Old Testament, you know, sometimes we don't think about this. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you realize that every morning God provided for them a form of bread, which they called manna? It was fresh every morning. Matter of fact, he even told them before the Saturday, he says, gather enough on Friday to last you all day Saturday. So you know what those nation of Israel did? And I just think so many times it's good this stuff is in the scripture. They thought, well, that worked on Friday. We gathered enough for Saturday. It worked good. So Monday, why don't we gather enough for Tuesday? Then we don't have to get up and gather for Tuesday. You know what they found out? The only time it didn't spoil was on Friday night. So it would last all day Saturday, which was the Sabbath. When they tried to do it on another night, the next morning, what was left over was always spoiled. God gave them bread fresh every single morning. Every evening he gave them meat. To me, that's pretty special how Jesus met the needs of the children of Israel as they were on their way to the promised land. When the dew was gone, the ground was covered, it says, with a thin layer of flakes like frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they asked each other, what is this? Because they didn't know. They hadn't seen it before. Moses said, it's the food the Lord has given to you to eat. I think we need to realize the food the Lord has given us to eat. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it was give us this day our daily bread. We need to be praying for our daily bread. And you know, it doesn't mean that God's got to provide it like he did for the nation of Israel every morning fresh. But I believe one of the things that goes with that in this day and age that we are part of, I believe we should be praying for our workplace where we earn the money to buy the bread. I don't think it's something that when God says he'll provide it for us, that it's something else for us just to think that we're going to get up every morning and go look at our refrigerator and there'll be fresh food in there. I believe he's saying, you know what? You got to help out with this too. You got to work. And you should be praying for your workplace that they'll be able to do that. By the way, did you understand that when Adam sinned way back there in the Garden of Eden, he said that one of the problems, Adam was going to face now because of his disobedience. Listen to what he said. By the sweat of your brow, you will produce food to eat until you return to the ground. Because you were taken from the ground, you are dust and you will return to dust. That doesn't sound too exciting, but we are dust, he says. That's where we came from. That's where we're going to return. That's in Genesis 3:19. But I just wanted to see the fact that God said a part of the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden was that we have to work. In my devotion, I have a picture of a real old gentleman with his head bowed down, and he's just saying a little prayer. And on his table is a bowl of soup, it looks like, a loaf of bread, and a big Bible. And his prayer is, give us this day our daily bread, the physical and the spiritual. And the Lord will do that. We want to continue on with the thinking that we have to see how God wants to and desires to provide and desires to have you be grateful in the ways that he provides for you to be able to have the daily requirements of your life. God's done it before. He's done it for the nation of Israel for 40 years. And he can do it for us as well. I love the way he describes himself, Jesus does, in a simple way, when one day they ask him about who he was and so on. And Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven, and I am the water. Let me think first about the bread. Jesus told them, I am the bread of life, who comes to me will never become hungry. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. I've told you, and you have seen me. However, you don't believe me, he's saying to the Jews of that day. And the Jews begin to criticize him because Jesus was saying, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They ask, isn't this the man, Jesus, Joseph's son? Don't we know his father and his mother? How can he say, now, I came down from heaven? Jesus responded, stop criticizing me, Jesus said. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. The bread that I give you to bring life to you, to the world, is my flesh. Jesus says, one day I'm going to die. And through my death is going to be the gift of eternal life. Then Jesus said, the bread that I will give, bring you life, is my flesh. He was speaking of what he was going to do when he became a sacrifice that would satisfy the Father, that he could give us the forgiveness of sin and to give us the promise of everlasting life. What Jesus is saying, we cannot live without physical food for nourishment. Also, we cannot live without spiritual food. If we do not have Christ in our lives, Jesus as a bread, just as the bread is a staple for our everyday life. Can I say this and you understand? Jesus Christ is a staple intended to be the daily staple of our spiritual life. We need him. We need him. I love the way it's described as Jesus says, I'm the living water. Jesus was standing outside the temple court and he said with a loud voice, whoever is thirsty must come to me and drink. As the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from the deep within the person who believes in me. Jesus said this about the Spirit whom the believers would receive. The Spirit at that time had not yet been evident, but it was going to be evident after Jesus' resurrection and glorification. That's in the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37. I think that's what he also told the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well came to draw some water? And Jesus said to her, would you give me a drink? She said, sure, you have nothing to draw the water with. Jesus said, if you only knew what God's gift is and who it is that is asking for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink and he would have given you living water. God is telling us just as we need to seek food, we need to seek water for our physical needs and for our spiritual needs. We need the living water of Jesus. We need that within our lives to help us to make through the things that we're going through in the difficulties of our life. And I think it's so important for us to get a hold of that as we think about what God has done for us. I want to go back before we listen to a song. And I want us to think about what Jesus went through when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he ate nothing. And the first one that met him was Satan, who told him that he should turn those rocks into some loaves of bread and enjoy himself. And I love what Jesus had responded. Let me say it again. A person cannot live on bread alone, but on every word of God, every word that God speaks. He's saying, you know what? You need to understand. I think most of us do in this day and age. We understand that we have a physical body. And we understand there's certain things we can do to help our physical body. There's certain things that we can eat to help our physical body. There's certain other things that would be a hindrance to our physical body. And so we're constantly working on trying to do those things. You know, I decided when I turned 85 on the 16th of February, I've been riding bike for several years now, probably 3 or 4. I decided I was going to continue on. As long as I could get up on the bike, it's a stationary bike, I would continue to ride. So every morning, I ride 2.25 miles. I do that in about 8.5 minutes. I do it holding on to the handlebars. I do it not holding on to the handlebars. My handlebars on my bike go back and forth. so I get a good exercise of a lot of the parts of my body. And you know, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes when I crawl up on that bike, and it's getting harder for me to get on it than it was when I first bought it. But sometimes when I get up on that bike, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I don't really want to do this. But I know it's good for me physically. I know it's beneficial for me physically. So I think I better do it. And you know what? Any time that I've ever felt that I didn't want to do it, when I got all done riding the bike, I was sure glad I did it, because I felt a little better. The Word of God is the Bible. When he's telling us we got to live by the Word of God, all the way through the Bible, there's teachings that will help us to live the kind of life that's going to be so-called a healthy life. And then Jesus became flesh, and Jesus, while he was here and ministering on planet Earth, he was the living Word of God in the flesh. Jesus, when he taught, he was the Word of God. As he spoke the Word of God. And these two ways are the way this Word comes to us. There's some different words that describes the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God is spoken of as water. Sometimes the Word of God is spoken of as milk. Sometimes it's spoken of as bread. Sometimes the word is like spoken of as honey, sweeter than the honeycomb. Sometimes the word is spoken of as meat. These definitely different requirements of our spiritual health. And we need that Word of God. We need it within us in order to be able to live a spiritually healthy life. Just as you need certain physical food, you need some things in your life every day that is spiritual food. God's Word is about the idea of, first of all, it talks to us about salvation. It says, so then faith comes by hearing. And how is the hearing? By the Word of God. That's in Romans 10. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. All flesh will perish, but God's Word will be forever. And we need to know that God's Word is powerful. One other verse said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can help us to cut away that which needs to be cut away and to heal at the same time that which needs to be healed. The growing spiritual as a child of God is that the Word is compared, as I mentioned a moment ago, to milk. But listen to what God said about the milk. You can't eat milk or can't have milk all your life. God says, you know what? You got to get rid of some stuff that's hindering you in your life. Get rid of every kind of evil, every kind of deception, every kind of hypocrisy, every kind of jealousy, every kind of slander. Get rid of that, he said. Instead, desire God's pure word. As a newborn baby desires milk. God said, that's what I want you to start. Desire the Word of God like a newborn baby desires milk. That'll be something very beneficial for you. Then you will go on your salvation. Certainly you have tasted, haven't you? And seen that the Lord is good. Sometimes the baby wants to taste it first. And then it goes right after that. Then as we grow up from infancy, the Word of God is compared as meat. But now you should be teach by now, Jesus said, or God's Word said, you should be a teacher. Instead, you're in need of someone to teach you the very elementary truths of the Word of God. You need milk, not solid food. All those who live on milk lack the experience to talk about what is right. They are still babies. However, solid food is for the mature people whose minds are trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. That's why he said you need some of that meat food in your life. Our attitude and response to God's Word has a great deal with the effectiveness of God's Word in our life. You know, all through the scripture we have these little thoughts. about don't be just a hearer of the Word of God, but be a doer of the Word of God. You can't just hear it and think it's going to be okay. He said, you got to put it to practice. He said, you got to be a doer of the Word of God. Otherwise, you know what he promises us? We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And we don't want to do that. Well, I want to continue on with this message, but I need to take a little break and get a sample of a little drink of water in the meantime. And we'll listen to another song. And this song is a song that's reminding us one day when Jesus had fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. You know, you may not be able to take in the whole Bible, but you take in just a little. You know what Jesus taught the disciples, what Jesus taught the crowd of people that were there that day? Little is much in the hands of God. So we're going to listen to that song. Little is much in the hands of God. And that's what he wants to do in your life and mine.
In the harvest fields now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling, to the harvest calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forsake his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. If you go,
when God is in it. And we need to know that. Little is much when God is with us. When God is at work within your life, he can take just a little scripture verse and feed you spiritually. He can take a truth from the Bible and cause you to grow spiritually. And that's what we want to think about next, this idea of going just a little further with this idea of this spiritual growth that God wants to see in our life. There's two ways spiritual needs of our life are going to be met: by the Word of God's teaching from the Bible, and by as we watch the Lord Jesus and his teaching, the Word made flesh. But you can't just be a listener to the Word. You got to be a doer of the Word. Listen to what Jesus, the Word, said one day. While Jesus was speaking, a woman in a crowd shouted out, "How blessed is the mother who gave birth to you and the breast that nursed you." Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Rather, how blessed are those who hear and obey the Word of God." That woman would think, what a privilege it would have been to give birth to the Lord Jesus. That could only happen to one person. That happened to Mary. But you know what Jesus is saying? Just as you think that's pretty powerful and pretty special, Jesus said, rather, How blessed are those who hear and obey God's word. I want to take just a few moments and talk about obedience to God's word. Just a few things I would like to share about that. In Psalm 119, if you want to do some reading sometime, it's one of the longest psalms of the Bible. But almost every verse talks to does something about the word of God. It's talking about what God's word can do. So here's some things that was in there. Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to the word. I like that. God said, you know what? My word will help you clean up your life. Listen to this next one from Psalm 119. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word telling us what he wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. He says, when we take that word and we hide it in our heart, we would sin a whole lot less. Psalm 119. Again, we memorize God's word. You know, I learned this a long time ago. You retain about 100% of what you memorize it, what you memorize, if you memorize it and then review it regularly. You know, I don't know why I do this, but I like to do it. Sometimes I just like to take a few minutes. When I was in school, I loved math. And we had the times tables. And I loved the times tables. And sometimes I go through the time tables. Just doing what 6 times 6 is 36, 6 times 7 is 42. And I just go through the times table. And I love doing that. I think we need to realize that this is something that is very special. Because that's what I did one day when someone said to me as a young Christian, you need to get some verses that you would call your life's verses. And so I looked in the Bible for what I thought I would like to have for my life's verse. And I came across Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And those of you who have been around me very much know that those verses became the pattern for my life. I want to give it to you in a message. It's a little different translation, then I'll give it to you how I learned it. But I like the way it says it in the message too. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. I like that. That's a paraphrase of this verse. And the way I memorized it was this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him. That's when I'd be praying. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, I need something in my life that's going to direct my path. I need something that's in my life that's going to keep me on track, as it was in the paraphrase of the message. We need to know, we need to trust God with all of our heart. We need to know that we don't need to lean on our own understanding, just trying to figure out everything for ourselves. I have used this verse not only for my individual life. I've used this verse for my family life as a dad, as a grandpa. I've used this verse for a ministry that I did at Shiloh Community Church for 50 years. That was the verse that was my guidance throughout those years of being a pastor. I'm using those verses for the ministry life that I'm doing right today. As I do a devotion or this radio broadcast, I'm using that verses and the other verses that God's given me in his word as spiritual food to make me healthy spiritually. I came across this little picture and I put it on my Facebook for one of the days, the Bible. And it shows an open Bible. And then it says this, precious food for Christians. May I say that again? The Bible is precious food for Christians. We need the Word of God. And we need to remind ourselves that we need the Word of God. You know, there's so many strange teachings and things going on in our society today. Sometimes when I think of how far we've got astray from what the Scripture is teaching us. I think we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to the teachings of Jesus. God has done it before with people in the days of Jesus, with people in the days of the nation of Israel. He can do it today, 2020. He can meet both our daily and our spiritual, physical needs. You know, one day in the disciples' lives, Jesus decided it was time for him to have the disciples go do some things as a part of ministry. So it tells us in the book of Luke chapter 9, Jesus got the 12 apostles or disciples together and he gave them power. And he gave them authority over demons. He gave them power and authority to cure diseases. Jesus gave that to them. And then he sent them out to spread the message about the kingdom of God and to cure the sick. He told them something now. Listen, he's going to show he's meeting their physical and spiritual needs. He says, don't take anything on the trip. Don't take even a walking stick, traveling bag. Don't take any food. Don't take any money. Don't take any change of clothes. When you go into a home, stay there until you're ready to leave. If the people don't welcome you, leave the city and shake the dust off your feet as a warning to them. And the apostles went out from village to village, ahead of Jesus, speaking the good news, and they cured sick people everywhere. God just multiplied himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus, 12 times. As he gave this authority to them to go out and teach these things and to heal the people and all the things that they were doing. And that was a beautiful thing. I love it. They reported back to Jesus after all this had happened. They came back to Jesus and they said to them, the crowds found out, the people just responded so tremendously. He met their physical needs. He met their spiritual needs. And they were just able to put their whole time, their whole attention on doing the work that God had sent them to do. I believe Jesus was preparing them for how he was going to use them in the future when he returned to heaven and they would take over for him. I love what happened next. The apostles came back and they told Jesus everything they had done. He took them with him. Took them with him to a city called Bethsaida so they could have some alone time. They'd been busy, and Jesus wanted to give them some alone time. But he also was going to teach them something else. When you're busy in the work of God, sometimes the work of God never gets over. I've told people I believe being a pastor, being in the Christian ministry, is like being a farmer. The farmer's work is never done. Always something he has to do. And I believe that is the way it is with us as Christians. That's why I'm still busy at 85. I believe there's still things for me to do. And I don't know how many people I've told, and somebody says to me, I just don't feel so good. I don't know why I'm here. And I said, well, you know, I guess my way of thinking is God still got you down here on planet Earth. He must have something that he wants you to do. So what we need to do is seek for what God wants us to do, to be busy about the kingdom of God. You know what happened? Jesus is going to spend some quiet time with him. And all of a sudden, a big crowd of people started coming. He's going to have some quiet time with them. But you know what Jesus did? He taught the disciples that the work is never done. And he welcomed them. And he ministered to their needs, showing the disciples the work of God is never finished. That is why I believe whatever God has done for you before, he can do it again. Each one of us as his child, as a minister doing some kind of work for him, God wants us to know that he is able to supply our every need. Even when you get a little busier than you want to be, there's a verse in Philippians that I use for my life quite often. And I want to feed you this verse as some spiritual thought for your life. and my God will supply, will meet or supply all your needs according to the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. To our God the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is able to meet all of our needs. God is able to supply all of our needs for whatever it is that we need in our life. God is able to bring that about. God has done it before, and God is able to do it again. He's able to meet your physical needs, no matter what age you are. He's able to meet your spiritual needs. But I believe God wanted to expand the vision of the disciples just a little further. Now, when I'm speaking about expanding the vision of God a little further, I'm thinking of expanding the vision of God about how great God is. He wanted them to understand this wasn't just something that we did as a religious thing. This is something that we did because of the greatness of God. And at the same time, all the healing that Jesus did when he was here. I think he wanted to expand their vision of the disciples to know part of the ministry I want you to do is to show the mercy of God, to be a tender person that tries to help others along the world on their journey. So this great crowd of people had came to where Jesus was going to spend a few hours or so with just the disciples to have an alone time, a quiet time. And then this great crowd was there. And Jesus started teaching the people. And he taught them, and he taught them, and he taught them. It wasn't a one-hour church service. He taught them all day. And they were listening all day. And then I want us to know that I think what God was trying to do is cultivate a sense of gratitude for the goodness that is ours when we get the privilege to serve this great and mighty God. I think that's what he wanted to do. So they came, the disciples came to him as the day went on, as the day was coming to an end. They came to him and they said to him, send the crowd to the closest village and farm so they can find some food and a place to stay. No one lives around here, Jesus. And Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. Oh man, I bet that made the disciples almost fall backwards. They said to him, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go to buy food and all these people that we have here, there's about 5,000 men, Jesus, here besides the women and children. Jesus is saying, feed them. They say, that's impossible, Jesus. One place it went on to say in one of the Gospels, it told how much it would cost just to feed that many people. And then Jesus said, would you have them sit down in little bunches of 50? And so the disciples organized that great crowd of people into little spots of 50 apiece. Even at 5,000, that would be 100 different little circles. He gets the circles all in, and Jesus is going to feed the big crowd of people. Remember, little is much in the hands of God. He has 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. Jesus looked up into the heaven, and he blessed the food. He broke the loaves apart, and he gave them to the disciples to give to the crowd. Now listen, this is a miracle. All of them ate as much as they wanted. Now remember, it's free. I mean, when food is free, you're going to eat maybe a little more. All of them ate all they wanted. And you know, as they ate all they wanted, when they picked up the leftovers, and I'm so glad they picked up the leftovers. We need to get back to leftovers. You know, when they picked it all up, guess what? Remember, there was 12 disciples. And when they picked up all the leftover food, guess what? There was 12 baskets. One basket for each disciple. That has always fascinated me. God is making provision, not only has he fed all of them, but he's telling the disciples, when they're all done, you got a basket of food left over for the next few days. I love that God shared this story in his word of how he expanded the vision of the disciples as he expanded their vision of who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. That's what he expanded, and that was something very special. The reason I love this so much is because I love the promise, and I like to pray this for myself, that I claim for myself, for my ministry, for Facebook when I do funerals for other pastors. Listen to what it says. Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working within us. God saying, I got some power working within you, and I want you to know that you're able to do a whole lot more than you think you're able to do. And I want to close this service with that thought to you. You're able to do more for Jesus than you think you could do. Just trust him. He provides for us. God bless you.
He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's going to say, well done, my child. Come on in. All the joy of heaven's waiting, even more than you're anticipating. He's going to say, well done, my child. Come on in. Come forth, Lazarus got up from the grave. But none of these compare to that blessed morning fare when I'll hear him calling out my name. He's gonna say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's gonna say, well done, my child. Come on in. All the joy of heaven's waiting, even more than you're anticipating. He's gonna say, well done, my child, come on in. Jesus said there is a crown of life for all who've kept the faith and those who've fought the fight. He said he would prepare a mansion in the air and call us in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, he's gonna say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's gonna say, well done, my child. Come on in.
Come on in.
All the joy of heaven's waiting, even more than you're anticipating. He's gonna say, well done, my child. Come on in.
Anticipating.